in this covenant. We saw that a covenant is a compact made by passing between two pieces of flesh. Like when Abram and God, when God made the covenant with Abram, Abram became Ha Abraham. The sound of God came in his name, and God walked between the pieces, and so that the flesh of Abraham became the testimony of the flesh of God, and the flesh of God became the testimony of the flesh of Abraham. So Abraham became the embodiment of the Father's will, a father of many nations, a father of fathers. Okay, so in a covenant, we select and render ourselves to feed on one another for the purpose of this covenant. And we've passed through the broken pieces. And so further defining a covenant, to be in covenant is to be one in the same body, house, and habitation. And so in a leadership team, we're one in the same body, house, and habitation. This is not Pastor Ted's church. This is God's church, and God has called us to fulfill our role as senior leader, as leaders of people connected to the leader of leaders, as a body. We are in a covenant. We're one and the same. We're one body, one house, one habitation for the Father's glory, for the Father's will. So if we are a covenant team, we make our lives broken for one another that we might pass between the pieces to enter into one place of habitation. We select one another, we feed on one another, and we give our all to one another. Now, that doesn't mean that all the pieces in the covenant are the same. In other words, we don't say, okay, to the senior leader, the leaders that the leader of leaders leads, that's joined in a leadership team with the leader that leads for the sake of leading the body somewhere. We don't say, well, all of the leaders on this leadership team are now exactly the same. So everybody has the same level of authority. We're all leaders. There's no leader of leaders. No. It's saying, no, there's one covenant team. There's one team. And so for the sake of one another, we see us as us. But we as a leadership team, we see the leader of leaders as the leader of leaders. And we see each of us as leaders willing to accept our responsibility to be a loud voice of the expression of the voice of God as we hear God in our role of this leadership team. And we accept our responsibility as a team to be shepherds under the chief shepherd for the sake of this body, that we are all equally responsible for the care of this body. We're all equally responsible in being a masculine expression of Jesus with skin on for the sake of the bride, this body. But there are many pieces that make us us. So though we're not equal in pieces, we're equal in covenant. So a covenant is a commitment to fully identify with one another, sharing all possessions in the covenant, loyal no matter the cost. You stay at the table. But you have to recognize your differences. At the table, there are different placings. So at a table, there may be someone who the proper place for them to sit is at the head of the table. And it's not necessarily, well, today I want to sit at the head of the table. It may be given to somebody in that team that that's their place of, that's their seat, that's their place at the table. So remember your place at the table. Know your place at the table. And then be committed to identify with the table, don't identify with your place at the table. And then be willing to bring your food to the table and share your food for the sake of a meal, not for the sake of how impressive you can be with your food. And then be loyal to the table no matter what the cost. That's a covenant testimony. So a covenant team, covenantal team, will fully identify one another as members constituting one team. So not a team of equal authority individually, equal authority corporately. Let's use different words here. Not a team that has equal responsibilities at the table, but they have equal corporate responsibility of being the table for the sake of leading the greater table of the body. So responsibility is authority, not anointing. We've talked about that in other sessions. Okay, so a covenant team will fully identify with one another as a team, and they'll commit to being themselves for the sake of their corporate self. Now, as a leadership team, you're committing to being yourself for the sake of the corporate self, the corporate leadership team. Now, why is the corporate leadership team accepting their role as a corporate leadership team? They're accepting their role as a corporate leadership team for the sake of the corporate body expression of Christ to fulfill the will of the Father for the glory of the Father, for the sake of the future generations that will be the offspring, the families that come forth from this family. A covenantal team will be committed to the team no matter the cost, never violating higher covenants. Higher covenants would be the highest form of communication, the Holy Spirit speaking to the human heart. You can't violate that, but sometimes you hear God in your heart and you don't understand it fully, and so what you're hearing is mixed between your own conscience, your own voice, and the voice of God, and so you always submit to higher covenants. Meaning, on a leadership team, the higher covenant, there's a leader of leaders. On a leadership team, there's a higher covenant of each family has a, each member is a family. There are marriage covenants. Can't violate covenant of marriage. Can't violate the covenant of the voice of the Holy Spirit. You can't violate the covenant of conscience, which is also a higher voice than delegated authority. You have to recognize various levels of authority and not violate those by your own covenant. So a covenant team will relate to God through one another in regards to the team, but not in regards to their individual life, but in regards to the team. However, if there's someone on the team that is going through an issue of character that needs adjustment, first, the leader of the leaders has the responsibility to speak into that area of those leaders. If there's an issue in the leader of the leaders that is a character issue, then the leaders under that leader have a responsibility to go to the leader of the leaders. They have a responsibility to go to him out of care, but then they also have ability to go to apostolic input. There should be that level of relationship, and that's the level of relationship that you go to. You don't go to a body member. You go to someone who has the responsibility to speak into the situation. In John chapter 15, Jesus said this, because the covenant glue of our team is friendship. Jesus said this to people who would not be friends, because we have tax collectors and people who don't think much about taxes, and we've got people who are young and people who are older and people who didn't necessarily pick each other. They came together because Jesus picked them. And so he said to them, he said, "This is my commandment," in chapter 15, verse 12 of John, "that you love one another as I loved you." In other words, get a revelation of how much I love you, and now love one another. Get a revelation. Out of that revelation, be able to love one another. "And greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing." And so keep in mind that on a leadership team, leaders who are under a leader of leaders need to see their leader through eyes of friendship, not eyes of he's our master and we're here to serve him. Because if you're just there to serve him or her, you will not understand his or her heart, and you'll misunderstand what needs to be done as a servant. And if you truly are a friend, you'll also see the role of relationship of authority over and authority to be under, and you will try to understand the heart. You won't question the heart. You'll say, "I want to hear what you hear." So he said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you." Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appoint you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So a friend is one who embraces a common objective and aim, one with whom life is shared. That's a quote from the Passionate Church, Breen and Kelsted. And another quote from that same resource: "Friends, they love to hang out together, share the workload, and linger after teaching sessions to discuss what they've heard and what it means." And this is just a man's opinion But I think these things are accurate in friendship. So in a covenantal leadership team, friendship has to be an element in it. Now, those goals that we talked about, living for the glory of the Father, living to love people, to give our lives for them, those goals that we talked about have to be the foundation of this covenant team. And then friendship is embraced into that. So friendship, or our understanding of friendship, our interpretation of friendship, can't be greater than the foundation of those goals. Because if friendship becomes the greater thing, we will create new goals that don't accomplish what God says is the foundation of a covenant team. And I believe that Malachi 2 is good covenant foundations for a covenant team, because the issue is, it's the last thing prophetically said in the Old Testament before God is going to send the Holy Spirit to finally make it real. And it's what's going to make it real. The real thing is people are going to see that God is their Father. They live for His glory to honor Him. And they live for the purposes of God as a family for the future generations. They don't live for their own personal agendas. Therefore, a spirit of divorce can't come in them. They won't live for some other thing. And they'll end up responding to God rightly. They'll act like God. The hearts of the fathers will be turned toward the children. The hearts of the children will be turned toward the fathers. And every curse in the earth, every curse around them will be eradicated by the blessings of heaven as it comes to the earth. That's Malachi. And God wants that to come. So friendship is not what brings that about. Those covenant foundations bring that about. But what helps us and empowers us to embrace those covenant values, we have to embrace them with the glue of friendship. I'm going to choose to stay at the table and allow the grace of God to transform me to become a friend. And I'll know it's happening because I'll love to be around this team. I'll love to hang out. Now, friends can disagree with one another, but they're never disagreeable towards one another. True friends have different views, but they don't become disagreeable with one another. And so I have a summary and a conclusion here then of what is the basis of a covenant foundation team. And I would say for you as a senior leader or a leader of a team, you maybe tried this and it went failed. If you tried it and it failed, don't look at your failure. Look at the point that you tried it. Okay, so now you tried it. You must be getting closer. So try it again. And so here I'm going to pray because I'm going to try this again. I've seen it happen in some measures. I have relationships at various levels that this is true. I could say of a handful of people on planet Earth that these values that I see as covenant principles for a covenant foundation are true in increasing measures in human hearts. I know people, I could name their names. But I'm asking for the grace of God to make this even more real. So the basis of covenant, we are here to give glory to the Father's name, Malachi 2:2. Father, help us to be here for the glory of your name as our Father in the sphere that you've sent us to. Number two, we will speak only like words of love for God and love for people, not critical ones, Malachi 2:7. Father, help us that we speak life words of love for you, love for people, not shying away from correction when necessary, but never moving into the place of critical where we do not have love and hope for those that we speak to, but we believe your will, your kingdom come, your will be done in human lives. And then number three, we will point all to the Father, Malachi 2:10. Father, help us that we point people to the Father, that we don't point them to our own ministries, but in all things we point them to you. A personal relationship with you as the Father. The fourth thing is, we will not make personal agendas or personal ministry our mistress, Malachi 2:11. Help us, God, that we don't get distracted by what you've called us to, that we forget who you've called us to be. Not just as individuals, but in a corporate sense, help us so that we can live for your will and not our own personal agendas, to be intimate with your purpose, your plan, to be intimate with you, to be the bride to you, Jesus, as the groom, to fulfill the Father's will. Number five, we will live and lead the future of the body for its children and its children's children, Malachi 2:13 through 15. Help us, God, in our local church expression that we live for the future generations of this place, not just for what we can accomplish in our lifetime. Help us that we don't get distracted from this generational, multi-generational destiny. Number six, we will love God and have a covenantal relational commitment to his bride, Malachi 2:14 and 15. Help us, God, as leaders in the body of Christ that we live with a commitment to this body as your bride, and that that is our number one commitment beyond our commitment to you, is a commitment to these that are part of your bride. And help us to know how awesome this is that you've chosen us for such a thing as this. Number seven, we know that to live for ourselves is to live for divorce. Malachi 2:16, we will live for the family of God. Help us, God, that we won't live for ourselves, and so that we bring death and dysfunction to the garment of Christ on this local church expression that you've joined us to. Help us to live not for divorce, but for the family. Make sacrifices for the sake of the children and the children's children. And then number eight, we know that to live for our own vindication or justification is to live for divorce. Malachi 2:17, we will live for the future of this house and for God's kingdom. Help us, God, so that we live for the future of this corporate body that you've joined us to, and that we will live for this testimony of this house in its will in your kingdom. It's yours is the kingdom. So we pray this in Jesus' name. So I believe these things to be true, guys. I also believe that these things are dependent upon the grace of God. So I'm going to make this concluding statement. And I would say for you as a leader, I get always hesitant about writing these things down because the test always comes. But I would say we verbally agree to these statements together, but rely upon God's grace to be found faithful in them. We agree with them. And to these statements, as leaders, as a leadership team, but admit without God's grace, we cannot be empowered to fulfill them. We invoke God's manifest presence with and upon our lives together to be the leaders he's called us to be, and to know that only by God's grace we can. We agree to walk in relationship with one another and hope to see God's life make these things true with us as a team. We hope that God will make these things to be a covenant reality in our lives and ask that he will. And so that is my prayer. And I believe I can confidently say that is my prayer in Jesus' name.